Well, hey.
Hey, how the heck are you?
I'm doing a lot better now that I'm wearing this Nassau Bahamas shirt.
These shirts right here, my parents got them for us. They went to the Bahamas.
That's right. Just got back. These were our souvenirs. So
good.
We're representing. One day we'll be able to go on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Let's go.
All right. Well, welcome back. It's fun. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Hope you all had a great holiday. We did. It was fun. Yeah. Last episode dropped on Valentine's Day, so little Valentine's exclusive. This episode's going to be a doozy.
Yes.
A little bit longer stories, yeah. But buckle the frick up, because the theme for this week is loose lips sink ships, aka times where somebody spilled the beans.
We've all been there.
Have we? Yes, we have.
Both ways.
I don't know what you mean by that, but.
Isn't that like a saying? Like, if you fart, you spill the beans? Is that not a saying?
I'm going to need you to, like,
settle
in here a little bit. Act like you've done this before.
Oh, my gosh. Is that really not a saying? Tell me right now.
No, that's not a saying. Spill the beans is like.
No, I know. Like.
That's the only one.
Out of your mouth.
Where do we go from here?
I think you should start us out, but we need to talk about who the fake was last week.
I was just going to get to that if we could just get past the talk about poop and farts. So for the Valentine's Day exclusive, my story was fake. One of my two. Let us know if you guys got that. If you understand the concept, one of the stories every week is going to be generated by ChatGPT.
Yes.
So we want to know if you guys are picking up on this or if ChatGPT is really good. We all know it's pretty freaking good, but
yeah.
This week it's going to be difficult because all the stories are bonkers. Follow along, do what you do best, but loose lips sink ships. Who's going to lead us off?
And when he says, let us know who you think is the fake, go to our social media, go to our Instagram, go to our YouTube and tell us, write it out. Tell us which one you think's the fake. We post our episode on YouTube every week as well, so you'll be able to see our faces talking as well if you like YouTube. If not, keep it up with the podcast. It's growing. It's killing it. So we're stoked.
We love the listeners from all over the world.
Like, it's literally so exciting. It's been so fun.
We're based in little old Arizona, and we get to see.
Don't tell them the city. Just say Arizona.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to be after us. We're based in Arizona. And it's really fun to see listeners all over the world. So shout out to you guys. Thanks for the support.
Yeah.
Let's get into it because we got some fun stories for this week.
I'm so excited. Okay. I'll let you start tonight.
Yeah, you will.
One click, no pretending.
This one is pretty good. Trigger warning for anything relating to like living a sheltered life. This story is crazy for as far as spilling the beans is concerned. Only one meaning for spilling the beans.
You've made that crystal clear. So okay. Thank you.
That goes for all the listeners too, in case there's any question.
I don't think anyone else would have that question but me.
I agree.
Thank you. Start your damn story.
All right. You're not ready for this, and they're not either. Today I effed up by forgetting that Reddit is only as anonymous as you make it, in parentheses, and blowing up my relationship with my family over it. So, obligatory, this isn't technically today. Really, this is more like I've been kind of dumb for like 10 years. But hey, buckle in. It's going to be a long one. My childhood was exceptionally isolated. When I was about 5 years old, we moved to the top of a mountain in the middle of the desert, ostensibly because my parents wanted their eventual 11 children to grow up free and wild, but also because extremely traditional Catholicism tends to stick for children when those children have absolutely no contact with reality. We would descend the mountain for church on Sundays, and then once a month we would join other Catholic homeschoolers for a morning at a local park, and some others we did 4-H. But that was about the extent of my socialization. I was unhappy, but I was never quite sure why, and my parents were always very quick to explain that my unhappiness was a result of the devil or a spiritual attack. Enter the internet, the glorious, populated, community-filled internet. As an older teen, I began doing some classes online, and I got an ancient brick of a laptop to help with that. And naturally, I eventually found Reddit. Finally, I found a place where I could have community with other people and nobody would ever have to know I was an awkward homeschooler with a terrible long skirt and an awful haircut. I started in the Catholicism subreddit, intended to keep it open in one page in case my parents walked in, and then in another page I could explore. And oh, the freedom of exploration. I learned history and science. I joined fandoms and discovered podcasters. I learned interesting terms like bisexual and even saw pornography for the first time. And I talked to other people, people who weren't homeschooled or sheltered or even Catholic. Not gonna lie, I said some BS. For the first solid, 6 years that I was there, I was drinking that Catholic Kool-Aid hard. If you look far enough back in my history, you'll find a homophobic, transphobic, religious bigot. Honestly, hella cringe. I also had a habit of occasionally complaining about the things my family did, especially as I began to realize just how desperately abnormal and unhealthy my childhood was. Word to the wise, kids, don't post your family drama on your main. It will eventually come back and bite you in the ass. Eventually, with time and love joining the real world, I grew out of the cringe. I left the Catholic Church once I finally realized the depths of its misogyny, racism, and corruption. I realized that the fun word bisexual described me and started meeting with other queer people and found out that they were not depraved predators, but honestly the warmest and most lovely bunch of people I'd met. I learned the real truth behind all the pro-life things I had been taught. I read books about abortion and trans rights. I connected with people in my town and then started doing IRL things once COVID ended. And now I volunteer at my library every week. I realize that I'm not broken and disgusting, waiting to be saved by an angry God. I made real friends and really learned to love myself for the first time. But you've been waiting for the F up. I made the catastrophic mistake of posting a picture of my sister's wedding on Reddit. You'd think that was nothing. I thought that was nothing. But my sister's ex, who has been involved in a decade-long custody battle with her, did not think it was nothing. In fact, he somehow managed to find the post and then from there find my Reddit account. And boom. 10 years of content. Homeboy must have read through thousands of posts and comments, and he found the ones where I complain about my childhood, commiserate with people about how my family is still conservative when I've gone to the liberal dark side, weird poems about fights with my sister that I wrote at 18. He went through posts about my struggles with fertility and struggles with religion, and he entered screenshots of them into evidence as proof that my family was not fit to be around the kid. Summary, because OP's a little wordy.
Yeah.
She posts a picture that she's at her sister's wedding. This helps her sister's ex identify her. He happens to stumble across her photo and then sees 10 years of her basically being like a, in her words, like a very sheltered child, and sees this evolution and then is using that in the custody battle against her sister.
And their kids.
Right. Like, it's like incriminating, not incriminating, but like throwing shade at the entire family based on what she said.
No.
Ugh. By the time I had been told what happened, told to delete posts, it was too late. My dad had the screenshots, and then he went and found more. My whole family saw them. My grandparents called and texted in horror. My aunt across the country was dragged into it. The next thing I knew, I had text after text from my sister telling me that I needed to make a statement, that I was a psychotic lunatic, lying about all of it. My mother apparently wrote a statement for me that said as much, according to another sibling that saw it before she tried to make me sign it. My sister claimed that wouldn't get custody of her kid back if I didn't either claim psychosis or sign a statement to that effect. Because that's perjury, though. I did not. Because, see, I'm not a lunatic. I'm a dumbass who overshares on Reddit. In parentheses, who isn't? And I've been diagnosed with depression. Who hasn't? But psychotic? No. I wrote my own statement, basically laying out all of what I just said. I was a sheltered kid who used the internet badly, and some of what I had said online has been said without the full knowledge of their respective situations, but my mistakes were my own. And because my sister had been adamant that I needed to call myself psychotic, and my mother had already written something for me, I thought it best to send to my sister's lawyer directly so that nothing could be added or amended without my knowledge. This was apparently a big mistake. I woke up to an email from my sister about how she can't believe I would imply that I don't trust her. Would you? And how I'm going to die alone without any friends or family. She's going to paint me in court as psycho anyway, because only a crazy person would, checks notes, talk to a lawyer in a legal situation instead of the person who already seems to have made plans to have you perjure yourself. My whole family basically hates me, and that's the end of that. All in all, you might agree, no great loss. And it's not. No, friends. The loss is this Reddit account. 10 years of karma, 10 years of relationships and carefully curated content. I shall have to start again with a new account, hopefully much more anonymous this time around. I'm torn between never touching this account again and using it as my new account exclusively for writing erotica content, since now I know my father will be looking on all of my posts in disapproval anyway. Might as well lean into it. I'd say I'll catch you all on the flip side, but I really hope I'm not caught anywhere. I'm so ready to go back to being just another anonymous face in the Reddit crowd, and this time I plan to stay that way. Talk about spilling the beans.
Yes, 10 years worth.
10 years worth of just like, she used it as her personal diary, her personal just like corner of the world that she could just unload all the feelings, all the things, like being a teenager in general.
Right, right.
Regardless of your cultural influence, like to have that all blow up and affect a custody battle. Goodness.
I guess, honestly, I'm kind of just jumping to like, what freaking happened? Did she get custody of her kid? Like, did it fully screw her over?
This was posted 12 hours ago. This is brand new.
Stop.
Yeah. And it's posted on Today I Effed Up. Go check it out, listeners. You can go read it yourself and look for an update. There is no update.
Wow.
Reddit is going in on this one, though. And a lot of it is like, people are saying, I like this one. Honestly, given your sister's reaction, I strongly suspect her ex may have a point. Your teenage angst wouldn't be enough to cause her to lose custody unless things already looked very bad for her.
Yeah.
Which is true.
So true.
Like,
the parents making her sign something saying that, like, she's crazy.
Yeah, you're a lunatic.
And she lied. Like, that's so sad.
So sad. So sad.
Yeah, no.
One thing, I mean, we're not going to get into the ins and outs of different religions and like what people believe or what it causes people to feel or anything like that. But just the tradition alone of religion, that can be very damaging for people that don't learn how to think for themselves.
Yeah.
And like, I feel empathy, sympathy for poor OP for living that sheltered lifestyle, thinking that she's safe to just like, let it all out on the internet and then having it completely blow up like that. Even if you say you don't care. Yeah, losing your family, that sucks. Yeah. And you didn't do anything. You grew up in the environment that you were like,
that was your escape. No say. That's where you were able to talk about anything and everything.
Sad.
And then their whole, and like majority of it's about them too.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is it just reflects so badly on the family and on the culture and like, all of that.
12 hours ago posted. So when she posted that, could the family see that?
Well, yeah. So this is from her. This is from that account. Oh, so like, if they go looking, like, then they would definitely be able to see it.
Oh, wow.
And some people, I mean, we're not like Redditors. We haven't been like real Reddit users, but this is like a whole freaking community where 10 years where this is like her. I'm just trying to imagine a social media account, but more personal. Right? Like more like almost like a blog that you just freely say what you want to say because nobody knows. To have that blow up, that's rough.
That is a good story for this episode.
Like just
that was
the cat perfect. Out of the bag.
Like yes. Literally perfect.
I love, okay, last one and then we'll move on. Last comment. Seems like the horse is out of the barn, so to speak. So personally, I'd keep the account and lean into it. And be petty as you want to be. You know your audience. Here's your chance to take advantage of their insistence on being weirdly fascinated with the Reddit account. It's their choice to read or not.
Yeah.
The horse is out of the barn. I've never heard that one. Cat's out of the bag.
A horse is out of the barn.
The beans have been spilt.
Losing it tonight. It's the shirt. It makes me feel a different way.
Yeah, the swordfish on your shirt is making you make horse noises.
Yeah, we're wearing swordfish shirts, guys. And they're lime green. And they have lots of colors.
Okay, let's have you read your story so you stay awake.
I accidentally got my best friend's mom arrested. So, yeah. I ruined my best friend's life because I can't keep my mouth shut. It happened a few months ago, and I still feel sick thinking about it. I, 17M, was hanging out with my best friend, Nate, 17M. When his mom, we'll call her Miss K, offered to drop me off at home. No big deal, right? We were driving through this neighborhood. It was dark and out of nowhere, this guy just sprinted into the street, like full on darted in front of us. Miss K slammed on the brakes, but it was too late. We hit him hard. I remember the sound more than anything, a sickening thud and the guy rolling over the hood before hitting the pavement. I was frozen. I thought he was freaking dead. I barely had time to process anything before Mrs. K yelled, "We can't stay here." I was like, "What? We have to call 911. But she was already driving away. but she was already driving away fast. She kept muttering stuff like, he ran out, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't my fault. And technically, she wasn't wrong. Dude came out of nowhere, but still, we just left him there. The whole night, I felt sick. I barely slept. The next day, it was all over the news. Local man injured in hit and run. Police searching for suspect. He didn't die, but he broke both his legs and an arm. Yeah, that's like horrible. I didn't tell anyone for weeks, but my dad knew something was up. He kept asking what was wrong, and I kept brushing him off, but eventually it just slipped. I told him everything. And then he went to the cops. They tracked down Mrs. K within 2 days. Turns out she had a little damage on her car that matched the accident, and since I told them what happened, it was game over. She got arrested for leaving the scene, and now she's looking at jail time. Now Nate won't talk to me at all. He won't even look at me. And I get it, I really do. But I also just couldn't keep it to myself forever, right? Right?
There's no way he would have been expected to keep that to himself. No shot.
I feel so bad for him because I'm like, yeah, in all the comments, there's actually like a few different kind of like viewpoints, but a lot of them are saying like, no, you absolutely did the right thing. So I'm glad he's at least getting that kind of like affirmation, because
there's no way you keep a freaking secret. What if he died?
Yeah.
Like, no, not for Miss freaking stupid Miss K. Like
Mrs. K.
I'm sure that's mortifying that you smoke somebody with your car, but if it's true that he just darted out, you had nothing you could do about it. Yeah. Like, you do the responsible thing and you call the police and you like, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You have to.
You have to.
That's part of just driving. You assume that risk just being on the road, operating a motor vehicle.
Yeah.
That's reminded me of multiple things, but you know where my mind was gonna go?
Yes.
Rico.
Rico.
You guys.
Rico.
This is so sad. This is horrible.
This is horrible.
This low key blends the last story into this story too, in a weird way. So we're driving down the road. This is a true story that happened to us. We took the missionaries out to dinner on a random Tuesday night. In Montana. I was in school, and we took them out and we were done with dinner, driving them back to the mission office. And I'm just plugging down this like residential road in Billings, and very similar to this story. Like, I'm just driving, and I literally did not see one thing. I'm driving. I'm not speeding. I'm driving down just a neighborhood that has homes on each side of the road. It's like 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. I'm doing 26, maybe.
Maybe. You were going the speed limit.
Like, it was, like, not going fast. But I going down the road, and all of a sudden, I hear this. I'm like, that didn't feel like a drive. Like, I drove over a sewer or something. Like, it definitely had like a different feel to it.
Oh yeah. And but everyone was like, oh, like what the heck?
You, what was that noise?
Yeah.
And as I'm driving up the road, I like look at my rearview mirror, and I see just a ball of fluff in the middle of the road. And very shortly after, a woman
sprinting.
And so the mission office was literally at the end of this road. And so I'm like,
yeah, it was like four houses down from where he hit Rico.
So I literally just clapped this dog, and I need to get these missionaries back to their office. And so I pull over, and there was never a doubt in my mind that I was going to circle back and go back and see what happened, see what was going on. I just pulled a little bit forward and told the missionaries, go do what you got to do. I'm going to go and give CPR to a dog. And it's funny because the missionaries got out. Some guy from across the street comes over. Was like, hey, get your ass back there. You need to go. And you just killed that dog. It's like, what? Like, what is going on? Turn the car around, drive back down. And this little poodle mix dog named Rico, very sad, was very clearly going to die in the middle of the road. And his owner was this couple, this older couple.
No, the girl came out first, and she was wearing a dress.
Well, yeah, and she was
freaking just wailing
this poor dog's name.
Rightfully so.
And like, she was saying all sorts of mean things to me. I don't remember what she was saying. And yeah. It's like, I have dogs. I love dogs. I felt horrible.
Yeah, Joe was tearing up, and the whole time he had his hands on his mouth. And like his cheeks just shaking his head, and he had like his eyes were red. He was tearing up. Like he felt horrible. And he was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he was just standing there awkwardly. I'm staying in my car, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Joe, get back in the car. There is nothing we can do for this family, and they want to kill you. So, like, anyways, but I want to say one more thing. Or do you want to say this part? Where she's on the ground.
Just spread eagle?
Yeah, she's wearing a dress.
It's so sad. Losing a dog is absolutely
devastating. And watching them get ran over.
That's the thing, is like, what I gathered, what she said was like, she had opened the door. The dog was at the neighbor's house or something. And so she just pulled in, called out to the dog, and the dog was running to her. Because I remember her saying, like, you were just so excited to see me. But it was like, I didn't have a chance. I didn't see the dog for a second.
Yeah, you didn't. None of us did. We were all, it was silent in the car, first of all. And we're all just staring straight ahead. You weren't going fast. I actually was like, dude, hurry and drop them off. Why are we going so slow?
Well, I'm like, yeah, we're just like on a residential road.
Yeah, but, like, there was nothing. None of it was your fault. There's nothing you could have done.
But I legitimately was, I was rattled.
Yeah,
shook me up bad for hours and hours and even days. Like,
no, weeks.
We can kind of joke about it now just because of how, like, first of all, that's our sense of humor. Second of all, yeah, it was crazy. This lady laid on the concrete and was just like, oh, Rico. And the dog's name was Rico. Like,
and she just kept repeating it over and over. And spread eagle, she's wearing a dress, just in the middle of the road, just screaming it. And then all of a sudden, you see the husband run out, and he is a pastor?
I don't know, like a Catholic priest. Like, he was like wearing like the black thing, and it was like the turtleneck thing, and it has a white, I don't know, little thing. And anyways, like, basically, how could you, saying all this type of stuff to me, and I'm standing there taking all of it with my hands over my mouth, just like, I'm so sorry. And then he comes up and is like scooping up the dog, and like, it's really sad. It was like, it was devastating because the lady is absolutely in shambles. We all know the dog's not going to make it. It was horrible. And thankfully, this guy was like, you should probably just go. You can't change anything now. I was like, that's the permission I was looking for to now leave because I know I can't change this. That was that's like the worst. Even but now,
also thinking don't back have your dog it. Run across the street, honey.
That's, I mean,
like that, like this man, don't run across the street and dart out in front of a car. Rico should have known.
That's so sad. RIP Rico. I'm gonna give you the best like ear scratches in heaven one day, little buddy.
He's not gonna see you.
Well, I mean, apparently
he'll forgive you.
He's just gonna run wherever he wants. He's just gonna dart. I don't know.
He's probably looking down at you.
Maybe they were not that good to him, and so we got him out of a bad situation. This is horrible. I was gonna say maybe he was OP in this story.
Yeah. So one of the comments was, you weren't the one who hit the guy, so why did you have to say anything? If you kept quiet, your friend's family wouldn't be falling apart right now. Some things just aren't your business. Dude, this guy freaking both legs and an arm broke.
And you don't even, yeah, it's like you don't even know. You don't know what could come of that. How?
What if he would have died?
I don't know how some people operate.
And I would love to know how this man was found. Like, he didn't have anyone to help him at that point when he got ran over.
I'm literally picturing Rico's street. I'm picturing him just being like, there's homes on each side. And he's like moaning and groaning. Like, somebody's going to come outside or like do something.
Oh,
and
I'm like, picturing like dark, pitch black, like not a neighborhood that's super like active. Like, I don't know. That's what I'm picturing, but. Another comment that I was like, oh, okay, like he said, your dad snitched. Snitched. I'm like, oh my gosh. Your dad snitched, not you. You only told your dad because you were struggling with guilt. You didn't go to the police. He did. So should your friend really be mad at you or your dad?
So ticky-tack.
Yeah.
Dog, sorry, friend. Your mom smoked a human being with her car and didn't stop.
And she was like, shut up. Like, basically, like, be quiet. Like, we gotta go.
That's like a trauma response. It's like the
she was just terrified.
Fight or flight. Like, what do we do? Like, I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah. It would be one thing. Like, I'm picturing like a dark alley and I, like, a guy runs out in the middle of the street and I hit him. Am I gonna like pull over and get out and my daughter's in the back seat and I'm just like completely exposed, you know? I don't know what I would do in that moment. I'd probably be really scared and freaking out, but the first thing I'm doing is I am calling the cops.
100%.
I don't know.
To keep going, so be it, but like,
I wouldn't keep going. I would stop, but I feel like I would be so scared. I watch so many crime shows. Like, I would just be so scared to get out and who knows what happens next, especially if I have my daughter with me.
So stay behind the wheel in case you have to run him over again.
Yeah, reverse that mother effort.
This one comes from Best of Redditor Updates. On our anniversary, my 27M wife, 27F, and I were intimate, and she said another man's name during sex. He's a mutual friend. I'm at a loss. How do I navigate this?
Oh my gosh.
You are not ready.
I would rip your vocal cords out.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
I know.
Of course you would. But in case you missed it, this is about her, not him. I'm 27M in a fight with my wife, 27F, after an incident during intimacy. For context, we're high school sweethearts, married for 6 years. We have a child, 3M. We've been through a lot together and I love her deeply. Our marriage is in a rough patch. Our quality time as a couple is struggling. We're in counseling. We're working on making time for each other and reaffirming our bond. That's our current focus in counseling, and we're assigned intimacy exercises. Part of these exercises is for us to make a consistent, conscious effort for each other. We had a staycation to celebrate our anniversary while our son spent the weekend at his grandparents. The trip was largely nice and we got to better focus on each other, but it took a turn. The night of our anniversary, we were cuddling and it turned into more. My wife initiated. She was really into it and expressive, and then out of nowhere, she moaned another man's name who's in our friend group. We stopped immediately. There was no mistaking what she said. She looked stunned before recovering and treating it like a texting typo or something. When I questioned why she'd say another guy's name, let alone one of our friends, she swore it meant nothing and that she was just consumed with what I was doing. I couldn't buy it. I don't believe it meant nothing. Not the passionate way she said it. I believe she was fantasizing about him while being with me. She insisted it wasn't like that and was only a slip of the tongue. I asked why his name in particular. First, she didn't know. Then she said maybe because she was replying to his texts earlier in the group chat. When I pushed back, she got defensive. She said I was making something out of nothing and how it didn't need to ruin our anniversary. I told her nothing she was saying was reaching me and I needed some time. She tried kissing me and initiating again like nothing happened, but I turned her down. The incident put a damper on the rest of the trip. We haven't been intimate since, and any steps we've made forward with our exercises have taken a significant leap back. We're in a cycle of awkward silence even in front of our son, or her ignoring the elephant in the room. She's being extra affectionate now, but I can't shake what happened. I never thought twice about their friendship, but now I'm seeing past interactions differently. Mm-hmm. I love my wife. She and our son mean the world to me. I've been committed to working on our marriage, but I'm at a loss here. I feel my wife isn't being honest and is attempting to rug sweep by pouring on affection. I'm left reconsidering everything. I don't know how to navigate forward. I need outside perspectives.
Bro, she's banged him. For sure.
Like?
For sure. They have had sex before.
So you don't think that it could have been just a fantasy? She was obviously in a different place in her mind.
No, I mean, I can't relate to this in any way, but I'm just like, his name being said out loud in a sexual way has happened before. There is just no ifs or buts about that. She is 100% done sexual things with that friend.
So a lot of the commenters agree with you.
Oh, good.
So yeah, that's a lot of them are saying, okay, well, check the phone records, find yes. out. But this is the story that keeps on giving.
Like the sex life.
Here's a couple of comments.
Okay.
Definitely need to save conversations on this for your counseling sessions. I highly recommend using a therapist certified in the Gottman method. No clue what that is. If you guys know what that is, leave a comment, leave a link, something.
Yeah, I don't know
maybe,
what it is
maybe
either.
We'll check it out. Second comment. Okay, if this happened with my partner, the first place my head would go immediately would be he's having an affair. Mm-hmm. But being on the outside, even though an affair is still on my list of possibilities, I don't think affair is the only logical answer. My other logical conclusion isn't very pretty either, though. But it's happened that people are fantasizing about someone else. So she may just have the hots for this dude, and thinking of him gets her going, and she was so in her own head picturing him that she got lost in her own moment and it slipped out. For me, this option would still be grounds for me to take a step back and question a lot. Even thinking of my partner fantasizing about a friend while having sex with me makes me want to throw up. So I 100% can understand why this has messed you up so bad. I don't think any response is going to make you feel better. It happened, and that's going to be a hard one to forget. Man, I wish I had advice, but knowing how it would make me feel, I got nothing I believe will make you feel any better. I would absolutely check your phone records to see if they are communicating more than they should be. That would definitely be my first move.
That was great advice.
Yes. Update.
Oh my gosh.
8 days later.
Shit.
Thanks to everyone who reached out. I couldn't reply to everything, but the outside perspectives helps. A general consensus was that my wife and I's issues should be tackled in therapy. I knew that's what I should have done, but I delayed. I was too embarrassed. The thought of bringing up what happened in counseling made it worse, but I knew it needed to be done. My wife didn't initially take kindly to it. She was defensive and accused me of throwing her under the bus.
No, I cannot stand that.
I disagreed. I wouldn't throw her under the bus either. The truth is, we never arranged topics in therapy beforehand. We argued over each other. Our therapist came through as a referee. She called for a timeout for us to recollect and to reflect on the objective being working towards a solution, not going at each other. We were able to actually talk once things cooled down. My wife was asked how she would feel if the roles were reversed. She admitted if I said another woman's name while we were having sex on our anniversary, she wouldn't have handled it well at all. She apologized for downplaying my feelings. While I appreciated her acknowledgement, I still thought she wasn't honest about why she said that guy's name. So I pressed. She said she didn't want to hurt me more than she already did. I told her she was hurting me by lying. She confessed that during a stint where we weren't having sex, she had engaged in fantasies to satisfy herself. One of them was of our friend. I knew the stint she was talking about. Intimacy as a whole has been a struggle. But there was a point where we were abstinent sexually. We weren't even sharing a bed at the time. We'd argue, then leave to separate rooms. Our son would share a bed with us. I asked how long she's been fantasizing about him. She said off and on. He wasn't a constant fantasy. It wasn't necessarily about him, but more about the taboo. She swore that the fantasies meant nothing. They were just scenarios to get her there and nothing she would ever actually want. It was tough, but I tried hearing her out instead of shutting down. Arguing wasn't getting us anywhere either. I can't relate to her about this. She's always been enough for me during good and bad times. I was always focused on her during intimacy. I told her that while I knew our marriage wasn't perfect, I thought we were getting to a better place and we were engaging in various forms of intimacy again. She claimed she doesn't indulge the fantasies anymore. I called bull because she just did that on our anniversary of all days. She insisted his name was only a slip of the tongue because she was replying to his text in the group thread that day. She said she was consumed with what I was doing to her, and in the heat of the moment, his name slipped out. When I asked why she didn't tell me all of this after the incident, she said she felt guilty and afraid for our marriage. She said our marriage was already in a state of recovery and she didn't want to blow everything up over a stupid mistake. She kept saying she doesn't want him or anyone else, she only wants to be with me, and that's the whole reason why she's fighting for our marriage. The session was a lot. I was mostly quiet after she finished. She asked me to please say something, but all I could say was I needed some time. I'm still sorting through how I feel. I believe she was more truthful, but it's difficult, nor do I see things between her and our friend the same. I would like to work on my marriage. My wife and our son mean the world to me. I want the best solution for everyone involved. Thank you again to everyone. I appreciate the support.
That is literally just a tiny bit more of the truth, but it's not the full truth. Yeah. She for sure banged him.
One of the comments called it trickle truth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, guess what, bro? Keep pushing. And guess what? You're going to find out more. She's just giving you little by little until she, like, it's like they realize they can't keep up with these little lies because the person's not believing them. And then all of a sudden it's just the crack's going to break and then you're going to fall through and drown.
Oh.
She needs to tell them the truth.
And so in your mind, you think the truth is that she's been getting smoked by this dude.
100%. It started as an emotional affair and then it started to be all like sexting and sexual crap. And then boom. They've banged.
I would actually really love to know people's perspectives on this one because I don't know.
Really?
I don't know if she could have been actually banging the other dude or if she could just be that lost in the sauce in her mind. Commenter one, I think the next thing you need to do is schedule another therapy session and discuss tools for rebuilding trust. At this point, you bring up your trust was shook because she kept trickle-truthing, and how can you know she isn't hiding more from you? That you don't want to distrust her, but you don't know how to rebuild. Allow me to be blunt about some uncomfortable truths. Everyone fantasizes. It is if and how we act on our fantasies, and if we allow our fantasies to impact our real life, that matters. Keep your focus on her behavior, not her fantasies. Trust is similar to reputation in that once it is broken, it is hard to rebuild, but it can be rebuilt. Trust is always a leap of faith. It is built on little acts of consistent, reliable behavior, but at its heart, it is a leap of faith. The little voices in your head, OP, the ones going, but what if she is secretly in love with a friend? But what if she thinks he is sexier than me, etc.? Yes, those voices. Nothing your wife can say or do will be able to silence those voices. That is a battle for you and you alone. You need to figure out how to self-soothe those voices. That being said, there's absolutely a world where it's just in her head. I just have to say that there's absolutely a way that she is that lost in the sauce, and she doesn't have to have banged him. Sorry.
There's no way.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not. My brother-in-law confessed feelings for me after I went wedding dress shopping with his fiance. This just happened today, and I'm using a throwaway because I promote my small business on my main, and I want to be anonymous with this. Okay, I'm pretty overwhelmed, so I'll start with some background. I have been with my husband for 5 years. We've been married for 2. Since early on in the relationship, I've been great friends with his older brother, partially because I always wanted one. When he started dating a girl about 2 years ago, I went out of my way to make sure she knew she had a friend in me if she wanted, since we're the only girls in the family. We're great friends now, and since they got engaged 3 months ago, I have been helping with wedding planning and was asked to be a bridesmaid. We went dress shopping today and had a blast. We went to brunch, had some mimosas, found the dress, and went back to their house to celebrate. I ended up alone in the kitchen with my brother-in-law a bit after being there, and he said he just had to tell me something before it kept eating at him. I was a little buzzed and confused, but was not at all expecting him to say what he did. I think I've had feelings for you for a few years, and I've never been able to tell you, and just needed to know if you ever felt the same. I completely froze and just shook my head. I told him that no, I have never thought about him in any way other than a friend and a brother, and I never would. Before he said anything else, I bolted back to his fiance and the other girls there, and very discreetly told her I got my period and wasn't feeling well, and would have someone come get me and then come by soon for more wedding planning. She thought nothing of it, and I called my best friend to come get me. She dropped me off at home. My husband is working right now, and there's no question that I'm going to tell him as soon as he gets home, but I just have no idea where to go from there. Do I tell his fiance? Do I make him tell her? Do I leave it? Do I have my husband talk to him? Has anyone ever had something like this happen, or have any advice? Anything is appreciated.
It's always the older brother-in-law.
Why? Why is that always our Reddit stories?
That's just the way it goes.
In life, it's the older brother. You gotta look out for them.
Watch them dudes.
Watch those bros.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's more.
There is an update. Thanks to everyone who helped calm my panicked mind after my original post. I didn't want to tell my husband we need to talk while he was still at work and make him panic, so having some reassurance from here was really helpful. I also noticed a lot of people asking for an update, so here is one that even I was shocked by as I lived it. It's not exactly the earth-shattering blow-up most people thought it would be. My husband came home and he immediately knew I had something on my mind. I explained the whole thing and he was livid at his brother. Livid at his brother. Thankfully, he gave me a hug and I broke down crying from the stress. He assured me I did everything right and it wasn't my fault. After that, he went to call his brother and tell him that he knew what happened and wanted to talk to him one-on-one. Well, it turns out that his brother and fiance were already on their way to our house to talk about it. As soon as the other girls left, not long after me, my brother-in-law confessed everything to her. First, she slapped him, deserved. But after they talked and he promised her that his feelings for her were genuine, she said that he needed to apologize to me and his brother, and then they could go from there. Wow. So they came over, and he and my husband went and talked while I talked with his fiance. We both cried and talked for about an hour. I promised her I'd never had any feelings for him and had no idea he'd ever had any for me. Apparently, she caught him gazing at me on a family vacation once and thought maybe he had some attraction to me. So while this sucked, she felt some relief that she wasn't crazy for thinking it. He admitted she was right and thinks his feelings at one point were out of jealousy, that his younger brother were further in life than him, and he attributed that to me in a way. This was new to him as the older brother, and they really hadn't compared each other much growing up. Just because they had vastly different paths, it was apples to oranges. But now there was some perceived competition on a similar playing field. The feelings had faded, but when she came home saying she found a dress, he felt an urge to come clean, and he wished he had said it differently or worked through it with some help before to actually understand what the feelings were before making this a whole mess. I don't know about all of that, but I guess I could understand it with a more clear head. This all happened in one night, and he was visibly distressed over it, so I'd find it hard to believe he could weave a whole story like that, so I'm inclined to believe him. Once my husband and his brother came back to the living room, my brother-in-law looked like a puppy who just got in trouble. Also looked a little roughed up, but I didn't question it. We all talked, and he apologized to me for putting me in this position. Where it landed, their wedding is on hold privately while they figure out next steps. Thankfully, there was nothing booked and no dates sent out. We had gone wedding dress shopping just to get an idea, and it was just luck that she fell in love with the dress. They are going to a couple's therapy to decide if and how they can move past this. There is clear love between the two. Things will be tense, but I think he feels genuine remorse, and my potential sister-in-law says she holds no ill will against me, and if they move forward, she'd still love to have me as a bridesmaid if I'm willing. My husband and his brother have some serious work to do in their relationship, and my friendship with my brother-in-law will never be the same again, but we'll see what happens from there. Oh my gosh. We've also agreed to keep this between the four of us, but they will be honest that they're doing some premarital counseling before setting dates or full-on planning. I saw a lot of comments telling me to keep my mouth shut and no harm was done. Well, I guess I can see your point. I just couldn't imagine keeping something like this from my husband, especially if it came out later and he found out I withheld it. Trust is huge in our partnership, and even just omission feels like a betrayal of that. Sure, I knew this could blow up if I let it out, but it would be my brother-in-law's fault, not mine. He had all control over telling me what he did. Thanks to everyone who helped me through that scary processing time alone.
Oh, what a mess.
Gosh.
It's such a mess so fast.
That is his sister-in-law, and he's about to get married, and he's over here like, I have feelings for you.
And it's so stupid.
What's crazy to me, though, is he's talking about, no, well, I just was feeling it because I just see how awesome my brother and your guys' life is, and I attribute that to you. But honestly, the way this, his fiance is sounding, she sounds like a very calm peacemaker, emotionally intelligent, very graceful, very giving, like, or forgiving. She's giving him a lot of grace in this.
Yeah, and handling the situation like very objectively, like,
yes,
not faulting the sister-in-law at all. Like, you could still be a bridesmaid at my wedding.
I don't know if I could do that.
Well, no, I feel like a lot of people couldn't.
That says a lot. He's very lucky to have her.
Yeah.
So that's what was so like ironic to me. I'm kind of like, wait, like, do you not see the irony here? Like, you actually have a catch.
Ugh, straight up.
This guy's an idiot. It's
an idiot.
There's a comment by Roaring Doodle. I'd love to know the subtle things that you did to him all these years. You never at all flirted with him in any way. Bro's feelings and confidence to shoot a shot came from somewhere. ...
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay, that's a different spin, different take. So like, maybe there is something there, right? Like, maybe all of a sudden he's just saying like, hey, I have feelings. So like, now's the time. If we're going to do it, it's going to be now. And this is what OP said. It wasn't like it was smooth talking question. He stumbled through it. And no, I never flirted with him. I teased him in the same way the entire family does. They're that kind of family. And after about a year, I joined in. The only thing I did that the rest of the family didn't was drink with him more. Basically, just because we're the only two that like to do shots and we have the same liquor preference. I would never dream of flirting with my partner's boyfriend at any point in the relationship. And I totally believe her with that. I don't think there was anything there.
Yeah, it's
like, that was like the brother she always wanted. Like, it, to her, it was like, that's my big bro. That's my brother.
Right. There doesn't have to be. It's this whole thing happened to her.
Yeah.
Like, to try to think that she would be at fault in some way is asinine.
There's an update too. I wanted to address a couple common responses I've been seeing here and give another next day update. To everyone telling me not to tell anyone or give him a mulligan, that was never an option to me. My husband and I are a team and we don't keep secrets, only surprises. It's something we agreed on before getting married. If I didn't tell him and it came out later, it's as good as me lying to his face. To all the claims that I'd be blowing up multiple families, I'm not the one who confessed feelings. He opened this can of worms and it's not my responsibility to keep this secret. If this does blow up his relationships or his family, that's all on him, not me. There are a lot of other common themes in here, but those two were very prevalent and I wanted to dispel them. For this small update, my husband actually called his brother today and asked if he wanted to go to one of their favorite bars to watch the game together today. Something pretty common for them. My brother-in-law was shocked but agreed. Shortly after, his fiance called me and asked if she could come over while they were gone. She was honest and said it might be awkward, but we would do this a lot and either do some DIY together, get a puzzle up, or watch movies together. She wanted to see if I'd be open to keeping this up as long as we were both comfortable with it while they work their things out so our relationship doesn't deteriorate. It meant the world to me, and I said, of course. all four of us agreed that they, brother-in-law and fiance, would start seeing a couples therapist ASAP, and my brother-in-law would see one on his own. Until they get a better grasp on what his feelings were are and their own plan, we won't get all four of us together, and brother-in-law and I will not be alone together. My potential sister-in-law is one of the most level-headed people I've ever met and so kind-hearted. My brother-in-law used to have a lot of walls up that she broke down pretty naturally, and this is so out of character for him. It's clear that he loves her, and I truly don't think that even if I did say yes, he would not leave her to be with me. Not that it would have even been an option. I truly see a road forward for them and all of us. We're all committed to finding the best outcome for everyone involved. My marriage is solid, and we have our marriage maintenance couples therapy appointment coming up soon anyway. So we'll check in with an outside opinion, but I'm not worried. They're going to a consult with the therapist at the same practice in just a couple of days. It obviously won't be a quick and smooth fix, as this was effed up, but I'm much more optimistic than many comments here and wanted to share. Okay, Mike 6409 said, future sister-in-law is pathetic for staying with that man. All I'm gonna say. OP, I don't think it's pathetic to give something, even an effed up situation, a little extra time to decide on going forward. The way she is looking at it is that she can leave and nobody would blame her, and she wouldn't blame herself. But she loves him, and for herself, she wants to take a beat to more deeply understand the situation before she makes a decision to stay or leave. She was planning a future for him, and if she just leaves immediately, she will have a lot of inner turmoil to work through and what ifs. If she takes a few therapy sessions and decides to leave, she would feel more confident in her decision. That's her choice to make. You may think it's pathetic, but it's what she decided was best for her.
It's not pathetic's just not the right word at all.
Yeah,
it's not pathetic. It's giving him a fair shake and being like, that takes a lot of emotional intelligence to make a decision like that. She very well may not end up with him. She's not cool with it. She's not like, yeah, go ahead, try to bang your sister-in-law. Like, that's not what she's saying. Giving him a chance to work through it. And obviously their relationship has to be evidence of it being really good. Otherwise she would just dip.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's just being blindly optimistic to what their relationship could be. Every relationship takes work. You have to just trust the fact that she sees a reason to stay.
Well, shocker. There's a final update. This is the last one.
Let's go.
For some context, I am 27F, my husband is 28M, brother-in-law is 32M, and his fiance is 29F. This started as a throwaway account, but now it's just an anonymous account, and this will likely be my last update. Since this happened, we have talked, and my brother-in-law has explained some of his feelings, as he has understood so far thanks to a lot of introspection and therapy. The silver lining to all of this is that he is spending some much-needed time working through his feelings and coping mechanisms. He group texted me and my husband, asked if we could talk together. It was most likely to talk to me, but he didn't want there to be any gray area going forward. To sum it up, he very sincerely apologized to me for the position he put me in and to both of us for the betrayal of our relationships. After a couple therapy sessions talking through his root feelings, he realized how terrified of change he was, even when it was good, and frankly, his fear of a failed marriage. I don't believe this. I'm sorry. Couple therapy sessions? Shocker. I was just scared of marriage, so I wanted to bang your wife, brother. He was older and understood so much more of his parents' divorce than my husband, and he didn't realize how much that impacted him because he had pushed it down so deep. My husband and I met before my brother-in-law met his fiance, and in the early days he had an attraction to me, but he pushed these feelings away because obviously I was with his brother. When he found his fiance, he truly fell in love with her, and we all knew it was by the way he acted. I mean, this guy is usually stubborn and stoic, but he just melted for her. He changed so many habits for the better for her sake and for his future. When we went out dress shopping and came back a little tipsy and excited, she just gushed to him about wedding details and ideas, and he got overwhelmed. So we did a couple shots, not saying it was a good choice. And when I came out as a person he had come to for comfort and advice on more than one occasion, he just exploded and said what he said. He had so many thoughts running through his head, and I can't say I'm not mad at him for what happened. When I got engaged, no matter how much I love my husband, how great our marriage is now, I have to admit I had a few late night musings about what life would be like married, because it should not be taken lightly. He was so genuine in his apology and ashamed of his thoughts and actions, he was damn near in tears. Boo-hoo. When his brother hugged him, he lost it. I gave him a hug as well, and he couldn't stop thanking us for not just telling him to F off. That's sweet. His fiance joined us after our talk, and she said that while she's still struggling with trusting him and they aren't going to get married on the same timeline they were planning, she's not leaving him as long as he continues to work on his feelings and unpacks his emotions around marriage. They go to couples therapy and both go individually as well. I think we all see a road forward, knowing it will not be easy. In my past post, there were so many people who thought my brother-in-law was making it up to get out of it, and he would have thrown away his relationship for me. Call me crazy or naive, but I don't see it that way, and nobody else involved does either. We addressed the possibility and dismissed it. I appreciate the level of care people have shown for me and my future sister-in-law, and we will continue to show care for her and my brother-in-law as they navigate this together. Oh, cut the ties. Don't get married, please. I don't think you should. I don't like this guy's character, and she deserves better.
He's doing a lot of emotional work now.
He's done a couple sessions.
No, but the fact is that he's already been able to put some big pieces together.
That one, I knew that was going to be one, that piece together. I'm overwhelmed by the wedding. I'm going to just go and see if I can bang my sister-in-law. It's like, that is not being overwhelmed by a wedding. That is you for crappy. And you shouldn't get married.
People don't understand how much emotions affect people.
Yeah.
If you're not privy to what's going on inside, if you're not actually doing the work to be aware of your feelings, then you can act in a manner that's not consistent with how you feel. That's a real thing that happens. And you can say that it doesn't. You can oppose it. It doesn't matter. Here's what I do and don't like about this situation. Okay. I don't like the energy from OP, if I'm being honest. I don't like, she gives me this main character energy that I just do not resonate with.
Yeah.
I don't like that it sounds like she feels like this is their whole situation. The situation entails the brother and his fiance and what their relationship, where it's going to go going forward. And Fringe is the brother's relationship with the brother.
But she has a relationship with the sister-in-law and their family. They all get together. So she is a part of this like mess.
And it's very weird to like the way that she talks about it. It sounds like it's the four of theirs problem, and it's not. It's their issue that has affected everyone.
Yeah.
I can appreciate the fiance that still wants a relationship with OP. I think that that speaks volumes to her character. The fact that she's still working on things with the brother-in-law is great. Mm-hmm. I just think that she's leading by example here of like, this is how you handle these adverse situations. She's not saying it's all is forgiven, you're fine. She's saying, let's work through this. And like what we have up to this point, I don't want to just throw it away. And so I respect that. Who's to say what happens 5 or 10 years down the road? Maybe the guy's just a piece of garbage. But if he's not, and he made a mistake, and alcohol was involved, and divorce trauma is involved, and living life just kind of shooting from the hip is one thing. That's kind of defense mechanisms. That's how a lot of people operate.
Yeah.
But you reach a certain point where you have to start going inward and looking and sorting. Like, it can be daunting and overwhelming. I just respect the fiance a ton for sticking with him and being willing to help him work through some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Even if they do end up going their separate ways, like that, this guy's making way more progress because of his environment and the way that people are treating him. And like, good for him. Sort it out. That's a big F up. That was a big mistake that he made.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen from there? Yeah, this episode was a little bit longer, but when you talk about spilling the beans, when you talk about for loose lips sinking ships, some ships are partially sunk. We don't know if they're going to go fully down. Some of these stories we may have to revisit in future episodes.
Yes.
But these are all over Reddit. You guys, if you search some of the keywords, you can go and check them out yourself. Read the comments. Get involved in the commentary. Do your thing. We appreciate the support. Appreciate you guys listening, tuning in. Please share with your friends, with your mom, with your neighbor. Leave a rate. Hit us with the 5-star review. Well, thank you guys again for tuning in. Follow us on all the socials, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, if that's all you like, you boomer. And stay tuned. More content to come. If there's any stories that you guys really like, we've said this before, you can email them to us.
Yeah, or shoot us a DM on Instagram.
The email address is internetfrenzy@gmail.com. So send it to us. If you have a valuable story to tell, if you want to be on the podcast, hit us up, slide into the DMs, send us an email. We'd love to have you.
Guys, we're delirious. It's so late at night. We love you guys. Internet Frenzy on 3, 1, 2, 3. Internet Frenzy.
See you guys next week.
Love you guys.
No pretending.